So with that being stated here, very happy to be with you. We're Sports Meets Life on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora as we continue this conversation. So thank you for being here with us this morning on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets that thing called life, as we anticipate getting Mike onto the broadcast so we can have our conversation inside of the Fantasy Football Power Hour. Not one of, not a, but the Fantasy Football Power Hour. And always happy to have Mike Sofka on the broadcast as we get to talk all things fantasy football. This is yet another fantasy football broadcast special, and today we are zeroing in on the wide receiver situations of the NFC. We've done a video that brought you every single quarterback situation in the NFL for the 2022-2023 season. You got every quarterback situation in one episode. And in the next episode, we did the running backs of the NFC, and then we did the running backs of the AFC last week, and now we have the wide receivers of the NFC, team by team, division by division, so that you can continue to stay in touch with us and get the information when you need it. We are a virtual library for you, Mr. Mike Sofka and I, and we love being your virtual library and love hanging out with you. So with that being said, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Dan?
Doing really well. And I appreciate your patience this morning as I flipped out about Draymond Green a little bit. So I do appreciate that. But I'm always happy to have you here. We got the NFC. Mike is here at Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com, myself, WakeUpCallDT.com, and our joint connection of Winning Fantasy Football, the group on Facebook, where we have a giant, I call it our giant Thanksgiving table. Our Thanksgiving table is open year-round. Anybody can sit at it, and we welcome discussion. We ask you to justify your opinion, be respectful, and beyond that, have fun with us. So you can join us in the Winning Fantasy Football group on Facebook. It's very easy, and it's free, so make sure that you do that. With that being stated, Mike, we are jumping into the NFC wide receiver situation, and I'd love to get your thoughts as we start off the conversation here on the wide receivers of the NFC. What your take is when we take a look at the NFC North is where we'll start. And we start in alphabetical order, and that's how we go through this thing. So taking a look at the Chicago Bears, first and foremost here, at their wide receiving core, what are your thoughts fantasy-wise on what they have to offer this season?
Yeah, you know, I like Chicago. I like what they got going on. I like Justin Fields a lot. It's just, it's hard for me to fall in love with any of these receivers here. I mean, maybe a Darnell Mooney is my wide receiver three, but Equanimeous, St. Brown, Byron Pringle, Dante Pettis, Tajay Sharp, and Simba Webster, who's a return guy and really a better defensive back than he is a receiver. I know they drafted Velus Jones in the third round, but this is a guy who really played just special teams in college. Yeah. There's a reason why he's playing only special teams in college, and you draft him in the third round.
Yeah.
I'm kind of avoiding this except for Darnell Mooney with the maybe as my wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I think Darnell Mooney, there's outside of him, Byron Pringle comes from the Chiefs. I had to put him on my team in a really, really deep league. It was actually one of the leagues you and I were in together, and I just needed a body. And it didn't pay off by any stretch of the imagination. Well, he's there now from Kansas City, Velus Jones Jr., and then Equanimeous St. Brown, you know, he's not caught on anywhere yet. Tajay Sharp is a former higher draft pick by the Tennessee Titans. Daz Newsome, I covered when he was in college, at Dante Pettis. You know, there's nothing to write home about here. Darnell Mooney from Tulane, I love it. You know, I covering Tulane and covering the American Athletic Conference, I have a lot of respect for them and the work that they do, and I have a lot of respect for their head coach, Willie Fritz, who's won everywhere he's been and I think made three straight bowl games before not making one this year. So, you know, I like the Darnell Mooney piece of it off of the world of fantasy because I'm a supporter of Tulane, but in reality, he is a third wide receiver on your depth chart. If that, you need to just let these Chicago receivers go. And if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you should know better.
That's what I'm going to say. Even if you're a Bears fan, you should know none of these guys are a guy that you're going to make some hay with, especially not right now. You need to wait and see what they do. Now, Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown is there. DJ Chark from the Jaguars, who never caught on, is there. Another high draft pick. Jameson Williams, a high draft pick this year, is there coming off of an injury. And so you have Jameson Williams from Bama-lama. Roll Tide, Roll Tide, Roll Tide. And then you have Josh Reynolds, who has come in. Quintus Cephas, Khalif Raymond, and some of these other guys that had spent some time there last season. So, you know, really, honestly, it's anybody's game. Amon-Ra St. Brown is not a household name. DJ Chark is not a household name. And Jameson Williams is probably the household name of this team, and he hasn't played a down in the NFL. So what are your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, I like Jameson Williams. I like him a lot. 4.25 speed out of Alabama. This is a guy who's been in one of the top programs in the country and been one of the top players on that team. So yeah, I'm gonna put a lot into this guy, and they did already. And they're gonna make an effort to get him the ball. I think DJ Chark, what you know, like you said, didn't pan out, but you know, some of that was his ability. And I don't mean, you know, his ability athletic-wise. I mean his availability. He wasn't always there. And when he was, sometimes he disappeared. But or was that a subject of Jacksonville's poor quarterback play over the past several years?
Yeah.
Well, where does he go? To another team with a poor quarterback, Jared Goff. And the future don't look any brighter. They're going to be investing in a quarterback this year. It's supposed to be more of a quarterback-rich class, if you would. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think he's better than his brother, Equanimeous, but I don't think he's that much better than a lot of other guys. Quintez Cephas, Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond, these are like also-ran guys. These are like fifth receiver type guys in the NFL, all in that one little bunch there. Like, I don't know if I see a lot here. I like Jameson Williams. I really like him in a dynasty league situation, but I'm not going to invest in him higher than like my wide receiver three, simply because of the quarterback situation. And as a rookie, he's going to get thrown into some situations that, you know, are going to be different for him. So the number one situation that's going to be different for him is going from Alabama, used to winning all the time, to Detroit, where it's not so much.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing that he's going to have to, you know, it's roll tide to having the tide roll in on you. So this is going to be a different experience for him, but he's the best option. So he's a guy that you take later on, right? He's some people are just very leery about taking rookies in general, so you can capitalize on somebody, you know, second guessing themselves about it. But you wait in the draft, wait, let it go. He should be a later round draft pick for you, and somebody that's a Detroit fan, maybe take a flyer on him and go out and take him and let him do it. Because ultimately, I think this is a guy that you wait on and you try to pick up late and you put him as maybe your fourth receiver and say, okay, you know what? Let's just see what he can do. And I'm totally fine with telling you to do that. But beyond that, these first couple of wide receiver groups that we have, speaking on the Detroit Lions and before that, the Chicago Bears, not a lot to write home about. Between the two teams, maybe two guys, and those two guys right now, at best, Darnell Mooney of Chicago and Jameson Williams of Detroit are probably your third or fourth options and should be drafted later. The Green Bay Packers. Well, you know that Aaron Rodgers has been vocal about who he wants, right? Alan Lazard is going to stay on with the team. He came from the practice squad of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They didn't know what they had. And apparently, Aaron knows what he's got, and he likes him, and he's a fan. Christian Watson comes from North Dakota State. I just spoke with the commissioner of the Missouri Valley Football Conference that has North Dakota State in there. North Dakota State, mind you, folks, has won 9 of the last 11 opportunities at an FCS national championship. Sammy Watkins is there. Randall Cobb, also in Green Bay, coming back for another year after the public, not so quiet approach by Aaron Rodgers to say, hey, here, you know what? I don't like the fact that they made some moves that I didn't sign off on. By the way, I'm going to tell you all the moves. Here's my laundry list. How much time do you got? And then within 3 days, they brought back Randall Cobb, which is ironic because within 3 days of signing Aaron Rodgers to $50 million a year, they lost Davante Adams. So Alan Lazard, Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb. Some of this gets me excited, and some of this makes me think, yeah, but Davante Adams isn't there anymore. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Do you know how old Randall Cobb is going to be in week one this season? 32 years old. Now I get it. Rodgers has a liking to him. He likes Alan Lazard, too. And I like Alan Lazard. I've had an opportunity to spend time with Alan Lazard. He's a great guy. You know, a lot of people didn't even know who he was coming out of Iowa State. But, you know, I was well aware who the guy was. And I'm well aware who Christian Watson is. You know, I do this thing every year, the Adjusted Explosiveness Index, where it takes the measurables, the metrics from these rookie wide receivers from the combine, and it mathematically figures them out before the draft as to who's going to be the top receivers that you should invest in. It works well for Dynasty especially. But we're looking for guys who are this year's Chase Claypool, this year's DJ Moore. These are some of the names that were consistently at the top of that list when I work out that metric, the Adjusted Explosiveness Index, each year, which, by the way, you can catch that at the website, HallOfFantasyFootball.com, shameless plug. Look, Christian Watson was near the top three. I'm not going to tell you exactly where. You are going to have to go to the website and check it out. But if you're in the top three on that list, I'm going to take a gamble on you in Dynasty. I'm going to roll with you, and I'm probably going to get value with you, Christian Watson. He's tall. He's lanky. He comes from a winning program. The colors are similar. I mean, this is a situation where he can get in there and make Aaron Rodgers fall in love with him, like Aaron Rodgers fell in love with a Randall Cobb, like Aaron Rodgers fell in love with an Alan Lazard. Sammy Watkins, where is he at in his career? Juwan Winfrey hasn't caught on yet. Amari Rodgers, you going to step up this year? They draft Romeo Dubs out of Nevada. I think he's going to, you know, get on the field, but I'm not highly invested in any one of these guys in a redraft situation. Maybe an Alan Lazard as a sixth receiver or flex if I have the roster room. But I just don't – I like Rodgers. I like the Packers. I like the whole thing. This is a more muddled mess committee situation in my mind for now. I think next year Christian Watson is the guy to own in redraft. I don't know. I told you where these guys are. I don't know if I'm excited about any of them this year in redraft.
Yeah, you know, I think Alan Lazard, I mean, now that Davante Adams isn't there and he rose from, you know, obscurity on a practice squad to the number two receiver simply because, I mean, obviously he put the work in and Aaron Rodgers saw it and appreciated it. So, you know, we take a look at him and say, okay, well, he's the number one guy on the chart right now. Christian Watson, though, he's got the length. He's got the ability to be a threat. He's got one of those guys that, you know, obviously – Aaron Rodgers could go up to in the corner of the end zone if he so chooses. So there's something to be said about what they brought on to the team, but are they going to be relevant? Is it going to be immediate for Christian Watson, or is it going to take some time? When I say I'm excited about taking a flyer on him later on in a draft. I think somebody's going to try and steal him late and show like, hey, you know what? I was paying attention. I made a good decision here. I went and got somebody. Hopefully they were listening to the show. And hopefully Mike and I get to him before you do. But the reality is Christian Watson, I think, is going to be the wild card that could pay off dividends here, even more than Alan Lazard. That's my feeling on this team and on where they're going. It's open season in Green Bay, and we know that if Aaron Rodgers isn't happy with his receiving corps, he will publicly tell everybody that they don't even know how to run a route. So, you know, and I would publicly say back to him, well, you weren't at practice, so how would you know? So with that being stated, we will see where it goes from here. But I think Christian Watson is somebody that you could take a flyer on later on in the draft. Alan Lazard is a guy that someone's going to take a shot at. And I know some Green Bay Packers fans that draft in the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Leagues. They're going to get Lazard early because in their head there's no Davante Adams. So it has to be him. I don't think it has to be him. And I think it's going to be divvied up a little bit here. I don't trust in Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb and Amari Rodgers right now. I think it's Lazard and Watson. And I think Watson is the guy that's going to pay off later on. And like you talked about, Dynasty with Watson, I think down the road you're going to be happy if you take a chance on him. The Minnesota Vikings, we take a look at the rest of the NFC North here as we give you our wide receiver conversation. Fantasy Football Power Hour presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. 7 days a week, indoor and outdoor seating, weather permitting. And, of course, you can go to them for takeout and delivery as well, 315-487-2222. That's 315-487-2222. There's nothing like their giant screen. There's nothing like their private dining area that you can reserve for your party and your fantasy football drafts. And we draft there. The exclusive rights in Central New York to the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Leagues belong with the Wildcat Sports Pub, and that's on purpose. So we thank the Wildcat for all the work that they do with us, and we're always happy to be there with them. This is your Fantasy Football Power Hour that you should be listening to every single week, and you should be going to our library and educating yourself, because there's never a bad time to learn something that you don't know, and there's never a bad time to have a discussion. And Mike and I welcome that. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you give us something to talk about, and we applaud the people that can come out there and tell us their thoughts, because nobody's perfect, and we love the discussion. That's why you should join the Winning Fantasy Football Group on Facebook. With that being said, with the Minnesota Vikings, Justin Jefferson, man, has that man come out of the gate as a rookie and just been a phenom. 1,000-yard receiver, and people, are they going to miss Stephon Diggs? Well, not yet. And Adam Thielen, still doing his thing. Not as much, but it's still there. Those are the two main guys. KJ Osborne, who I covered when he transferred from Buffalo to Miami, not in the NFL, but before the transfer portal in college. So he is there as well. Busy Johnson and a bunch of names that are not household names yet. So your thoughts on Justin Jefferson. Will he continue to excite? Is he a top 10, top 5 guy? And where does Adam Thielen fall?
Yeah, I like Justin Jefferson. Heck, if it wasn't for Cooper Kupp, who's a freak past couple years, Justin Jefferson would easily be the number one receiver in the league, number one guy you should take, whether it's a dynasty startup or a redraft. He's a number one receiver. Look, he comes from good stock. His dad, Sean Jefferson, used to be a player in the NFL, used to be a receiver. And, you know, Adam Thielen, you know, exploded on a scene. I remember helping somebody years ago with their fantasy draft, and I helped them take Adam Thielen late in his rookie year, and they were like, who's this guy? I go, just watch. And sure enough, he was. See, Justin Jefferson is of a different stock than Adam Thielen. It's just different. You could see the difference. It's a difference between great and elite. That's where they are. And that's where they are now. Justin Adam Thielen's on his way down. Of course, Adam Thielen supplanted Stephon Diggs there for a while, too. So it's just the natural attrition there. Adam Thielen isn't much better than Justin Jefferson by far. I got Justin Jefferson as the number two receiver right now ranking, whether that's redraft or dynasty. I got Adam Thielen in the high 20s, 28 or so. Now, they're going to have K.J. Osborne in the slot, which he's a journeyman type player. Albert Wilson is in the role, too. Olabisi Johnson is there. I don't know. Jalen Naylor, I think if he can get on the field, 4.52 speed out of Michigan State, if this guy can get on the field, maybe they could find a way to put him in the slot instead of Osborne, or maybe put Adam Thielen in the slot, which may be the answer, and put Naylor on the right side opposite of Jefferson, two real quick guys on the outside there. So, you know, the way I look at it, Justin Jefferson's your guy. Adam Thielen, it's a luxury as a wide receiver 3. He's probably going to be overdrafted as a wide receiver 2, so I may stay away. Kirk Cousins, you like that? I like Kirk Cousins. He's usually in the middle there somewhere. Usually not going to wow you. Usually not going to, you know, disappoint you too greatly either. They got a great running game with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. So I think that Justin Jefferson, again, is a top receiver. If you have an opportunity to take him, go ahead and take him.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a guy that some people might take in the first round of your draft, and if not, coming up in the second round for sure. He's going to be the guy that is within those first 10 picks, 12 picks of your draft, I would imagine that should be. So I like Justin Jefferson a lot. I like Adam Thielen. And Adam Thielen, I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere, and then he had a good couple seasons, and now it's Justin Jefferson. So the question is, you know, how much do you want to spend on Adam Thielen, so to speak, and how much are you willing to put into him? And it's an unfortunate, right, because he kind of had his flash in the pan, and now it feels like it's the Justin Jefferson show. And I mean, that's what Justin's done. You can't fault him for doing that. But I think Justin is a first round pick in your fantasy football draft, if not an early second round pick. I think Adam Thielen, people will draft higher than should be. But I think, you know, third or fourth round, you pick him up because he is a question mark. He's good, but he's a question mark, you know. And Stephon Diggs has found life without Adam Thielen. Justin Jefferson has been able to do it. So I think that, you know, the Adam Thielen train felt good. But was that a sleeper chain that now, you know, went from waking up to now being, you know, back asleep again? And that's the question that we kind of have to ask ourselves here. So that's where we sit with him. But Justin Jefferson is an absolute must for you without question. With that being said, we head off to the NFC North in this coverage of every receiving core in the NFC of all 16 teams in this episode alone. And so we have Drake London, who was just drafted eighth overall. You and I called that pick out of USC. Alameda Zaccheaus is moving up the depth chart, and he is somebody I covered from Virginia. And then from there, I'm not kidding with you. At the depth chart I'm looking at right now, there are 12 receivers trying to get in Atlanta to be that third guy. Bryan Edwards, Auden Tate, Damier Byrd, Kadarrell Hodge, Cameron Batson, Frank Darby, Geronimo Allison, remember him from Green Bay, Austin Trammell, Tyshawn James, Stanley Berryhill III, Jared Bernhardt, and, of course, the man that's suspended for at least a season, Calvin Ridley. What is your take on the situation in Atlanta and the fact that they have 14 receivers going into training camp?
Yeah, Atlanta's definitely a team that's in transition. You know, I know we talked about running backs previously here, but watch out for Cordarrelle Patterson as a premier receiver on that team. He does both. And Kyle Pitts, he's the number one receiver. Drake London's going to be the number one receiver down the road. He's just not the guy that's going to be a number one receiver on your fantasy league this year. There's going to be an Atlanta fan who's going to overdraft him. I got him as a bottom end wide receiver three right now. He's number 36 on my rank, 34 on my rankings here. But you're right. You know, I like these guys in certain situations down the road, but these are committee guys like Bryan Edwards, Olamide Zaccheaus, Kadarrelle Hodge, Auden Tate, Damari Byrd. Again, another team with also ran receivers. It is what it is. I get it, though. You need a hopefully, out of 14 guys, they're going to find five. They're going to find, you know, that top third of the group there to be able to do something. But watch out for Marcus Mariota to continue that relationship with the tight end. He doesn't have one yet with Kyle Pitts. Look for that to get remedied right away because Kyle Pitts is a heck of a receiver. And don't forget, they brought in Desmond Ridder, who's kind of like a Matt Ryan in stature and what he does on the field. But the year before, they brought in Felipe Franks, who they thought was that guy as well. Well, apparently they didn't feel as confident, so they bring it. If you put Felipe Franks and Desmond Ridder side by side, to me they're the same quarterback. But obviously Desmond Ridder had a lot more success with Cincinnati there. I think the Desmond Ridder London Drake thing is intriguing for Dynasty for the future.
Yeah,
I always like getting that quarterback and receiver matchup like that because when the wide receiver scores, the quarterback scores. You know, that's good. It used to be good back in the day with Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. You always wanted to get those two guys on your team. So I think that London Drake is a great pick for Dynasty. But, yeah, I'm staying away. Maybe London Drake's a bottom end wide receiver three for me here.
Yeah, you know, and I think Drake London, I mean, you brought it up, Cordarrelle Patterson, that's what I was thinking of, you know, is that he's the wide receiver, even though he's the running back. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, depending on where you do your leagues, we do ours through ESPN, what are they going to have? Who's going to have him where? Are they going to have him as a wide receiver or running back? If you have limits on what you can draft, is he going to be in that window and what's that going to look like? So we shall see from that because he's kind of a wild card there. A true flex guy. But, you know, Drake London, I think down the road, maybe. But I think I would pick Christian Watson over Drake London as a right now factor. Kyle Pitts is the factor. That's the guy. And Drake London might be able to help you out, but they're trying to figure out what they're doing. It eventually will be Desmond Ridder's team. And Marcus Mariota has the reins as of right now going into training camp. So we'll see where that goes. But Atlanta is still a giant question mark, hence why they have 14 receivers on the depth chart. We go to Carolina. DJ Moore, I'm still waiting. Robbie Anderson, I'm still waiting. Terrence Marshall Jr., sophomore season coming up. Rashard Higgins. Brandon Zylstra, I think is where we're going here. Yep. And then we have a bunch of other guys, including a man who has a fantastic movie name, Charleston, like Charleston, South Carolina, Charleston Rambo. So I love that. Rambo and the Charleston, I'm feeling it. It's good stuff. But Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, Terrence Marshall Jr., those are your guys. And last year, those were your guys. And last year, I didn't feel great about anybody. So DJ Moore might make you feel good sometimes, but his consistency puts it into question for me. Also, the fact that they change quarterbacks like underwear and they just keep adding guys. So what's your take on Carolina?
Yeah, I like the situation Carolina is in, actually. I like DJ Moore. I've always liked him. He was near the top of the adjusted explosiveness index back in the day. When was that? 18, I think. 2018 when he was a first-round pick. You got Robbie Anderson, who was the number one guy at the Jets, but they had a quarterback problem. So what do? They remarry the quarterback and the receiver together in Sam Darnold. And then Terrace Marshall, I think he showed a little bit of something last year. I think he's a guy to look out for in the slot. He could surprise some people. But the guy that I'm really going to focus on, the only guy I'm really going to focus on is DJ Moore. I got him. Where do I have him ranked? I think he's 14. He is. He's 14 on my ranking. He has the capability and he has the situation where he can get in the top 10 and receiver for you this year. He can be a surprise wide receiver one at your wide receiver two position. So look for that. Sam Darnold, I'm not sold on that. You know who I am sold on? Matt Corral. He could be this year's Davis Mills. He could be the guy that plays sooner rather than later and puts some okay game tape out there, and then gives you some hope, something to build on. And don't forget, they have the best receiver on the team, in my opinion, Christian McCaffrey. And should he be healthy, this is a team to be reckoned with. I think it's receiver-wise, I keep an eye on all these guys, especially if Matt Corral plays. Because if Matt Corral plays, that means one of two things. The season's already going downhill, yeah. Or there's something wrong with Sam Darnold, like he's on the field. Get Matt Corral on the field. You got speed. You got great receivers, I think, who have tremendous upside. They're not top to everybody's list right now, but that's why we're talking about them now. They can be tops on that list. And mark my words, by the end of the year, Matt Corral will be a quarterback in this league that's playing, and those receivers will all be standing tall and looking good. Again, steal DJ Moore as your wide receiver, too.
Yeah, you know, DJ Moore, and I'm going to talk to you like this. I don't always feel the consistency week to week, but he's one of those guys where I may not feel great about the pick, but you need to draft this guy. Because when you look at his numbers, 3 years in a row, he's played in the league for four seasons. In the last three seasons, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. Not just a 1,000-yard receiver, he's 1,100-yard receiver. 1,175 in 2019-20. 1,193 in 2020-2021. And last season, 1,157 yards. He had 93 receptions last season, the most ever. He's had 55, 87, 66, and 93 in order of his four seasons. But the thing that concerns me is he's not a touchdown guy. He's two touchdowns, 4, 4, and 4 in his career.
Well, who was his quarterback last year? He's been having quarterback problems.
So the thing is, when it comes down to it, he puts up the numbers as far as yardage, and in PPR, which, you know, you either play a lot of teams playing, a lot of leagues playing in PPR or a hybrid of both. I like to hybrid them together. So you have a lot of different ways to score and make it really interesting. He had 93 catches last year. So I think, you know, when push comes to shove, when it comes down to it, he is a guy that you do put on your team. I get leery of it because I don't always see the dividends every week, but I have to remember, like the stock market, it doesn't always go up. Terrence Marshall Jr., 17 catches and 138 yards last season as a rookie, no touchdowns. Watch him because he hasn't been truly involved yet in the offense. And we'll see if that's going to happen. And if we can corral, yes, I mean that, some points for these other guys. Because DJ Moore is bringing it. Robbie Anderson, I thought, hey, he's linking up with Sam Darnold. They did some good things in New York. Well, nothing good happened last year for it. And Robbie Anderson was a waste of a pick if you made it. And if you had to pick him up in free agency, 519 yards, he did have five touchdowns, more than DJ Moore. But he went from a 1,000-yard season with the Panthers to half of that with 519. In 2020, he had 1,096. When he got his quarterback back from the Jets, he went to half of that. Think about that. The guy he should be used to playing with, he went from 1,000 yards to 500 yards. He split it in half to have somebody that he knows. That is potentially saying something about Sam Darnold. So DJ Moore is the guy to look at. Outside of that, have a fantastic day and we move forward. We go to the New Orleans Saints. And the New Orleans Saints taking a look at the NFC North as we continue our wide receiver conversation of all NFC teams, division by division. Michael Thomas, does he play in the NFL anymore? I have no idea. Apparently he does. Is it an ankle injury? Is it the foot? Is it just he doesn't want to play? Is it he doesn't know? Is he having trouble with the team? Is the team having trouble with him? When it comes to Michael Thomas, we just don't know. He's got a better chance of showing up on the new Hulu Kardashian show than I think of him being in the NFL. Jarvis Landry is there now, folks. And they have Chris Olave, who they went up to draft out of Ohio State. Marquez Callaway was underwhelming at times. Tre'Quan Smith has been inconsistent because their quarterbacks have been inconsistent. With some guys, he's got a good connection. With other guys, he doesn't. And he played with three quarterbacks last year, if not four. What are your thoughts on the Saints?
Yeah, first off, Chris Olave. I think he and Garrett Wilson were essentially the same guys coming out of Ohio State. They both went high in the first round. And, you know, and with good reason. 4.39 speed, this guy can stretch the field. This guy is he's a great wide receiver, and I like him. Olave may be better than Garrett Wilson. The jury's out on that. But, you know, you hit the nail on the head in Michael Thomas. He's missed 26 of the past 33 games. So, Dan, in the last 2 years, if you didn't show up to do what you do 75% of the time, where would you be? You wouldn't be on a team. You'd be on a street. I mean, I don't understand. So I wouldn't be surprised, and go ahead and mark this tape right now, I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Thomas is cut before the year even starts. I'll just leave it at that. I still have confidence in him in some way. I want to have confidence in him, but I'm not sure the team's going to have confidence in him when they look at the youth movement around him. Jarvis Landry's on his way down in his career. Marquez Callaway's always had stretch-the-field potential, but not enough. Tre'Quan Smith, like you said, inconsistent. Deontay Hardy. Kevin White. There's a name that was an also-ran, a guy who, you know, you thought was going to be an elite receiver in the league. So, yeah, I'm looking for Chris Olave. They don't have a tight end. They have Jameis Winston, who can throw six touchdowns in a game. Three of them will be to the other team.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton is a guy that may be a dark horse in all this because they don't want Taysom Hill at quarterback anymore. They want to put him at tight end. Ian Book didn't really catch on last year. It'd be interesting to me see how this four quarterback thing shakes out. So I think Taysom Hill moving to tight end allows them to carry those three quarterbacks. Ian Book will be on the scout squad probably as long as Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton are healthy. Andy Dalton, 151 years old. But I wouldn't doubt if he got some playing time in front of a Jameis Winston who has struggled at times. Alvin Kamara is there, though. He's a great receiver on the team. He's probably the best receiver on the team, in my opinion. So I like Chris Olave. I don't like him a lot in redraft this year. Maybe as my, you know, wide receiver four or something. I'm staying away from Michael Thomas. I'm staying away from Jarvis Landry unless he falls to me as my wide receiver five. And I'm not overly excited. You know, I know this going into the season. See, when you set your expectations correctly, you're not disappointed. So if you go in, oh, yeah, Michael Thomas is back. He's good. Remember when Michael Thomas – yeah, that was a long time ago. So, no, he's still not ranked the same at the same place. So, you know, we want to have fond memories. And let the other guy be the guy who's taking guys from 5 years ago who used to be good.
Yeah. Remember 2 seasons ago when Michael Thomas was relevant? That was 2 seasons ago. He's not relevant now. It's dramatic. We don't know if it's an injury. We don't know if it's him. We don't know if it's attitude. We don't know if it's team saying to him, don't come to practice. We don't know if he's going, I don't want to come to practice. We don't know what the heck is going on. Michael Thomas has been an enigma. We haven't been able to figure out what it is. And you know what? Somebody's going to draft him in your league this year. I know someone's going to draft him in the wake-up call fantasy football leagues, and they're going to do it. They're going to go. They're going to wait. It'll be like the third or fourth round, and they're going to go, Michael Thomas. And they're going to grin and be like, huh, screw you guys. I got that guy. You may have that guy. You may.
He has some upside. There's a chance.
Right. Like, you may have that guy. Or you may look very stupid. And I know that one of those guys each season, one of those guys, right, when you take a chance on Adrian Peterson coming back to the NFL, and it worked. Sometimes it works. Most times in a situation like this, it doesn't. Michael Thomas, go ahead and draft him. I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole. I'm not going there. But somebody will, and I know somebody will smirk, and they'll go, hey, Dan, I can't believe he fell to me. I can. Because I don't know what his problem is, but Mike said it to you. Out of 30-plus games, he's missed the overwhelming majority of them. So call it what it is. I'm staying away from everybody on New Orleans unless I take a middle-to-late approach at Chris Olave. As of right now. And I like Tre'Quan Smith. Covered him at UCF. Big fan. But I want to see something before I go and make the pick. I could be a fan, but I'm trying to win a championship with my fantasy football team. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, final team of the NFC South. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage, Rashad Perriman. Both of those guys are back. Scotty Miller's back. Grayson is back. Tyler Johnson as well. What are your thoughts on this situation? Are Evans and Godwin still on the same line? Are they like 7 and 8, 8 and 7? How do you look at these two guys? Are they still that high up, and are they even, or has somebody separated themselves?
Yeah, you know, it's not, let's just call what it is. Mike Evans is the better receiver out of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. It was thought that maybe Chris Godwin would be passing him up. I don't think that's the case. Mike Evans has been a stud ever since day one. I remember watching him at Texas A&M. You know, the guy's just a beast. He's a tall receiver. He can go up and get the ball. He's got hops. Chris Godwin's a speedster. He's a perfectly capable receiver as well. I'd be proud to have either one of these guys on my redraft or dynasty roster. There's a tremendous drop-off after that point, though. Russell Gage is going to start in a slot? I don't think so. I think it's going to rotate with Rashard Perriman, Cyril Johnson, Tyler Johnson, who's blazing fast and always seems to, when he gets on the field, make a play. Scotty Miller, same thing. I know that Tom Brady really likes Scotty Miller a lot. And Jalen Darden, he's a speedster. Wears number one on the team and returns kicks. If you're wearing number one and you're returning the punts and the kicks, you got a jet on your back. And they're trying to figure out a way to get you on the field. Unfortunately, it's not going to help many people in redraft or dynasty with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin taking up everything. And don't forget, they're probably going to bring Gronk back into fold here. Cameron Brate's always been a touchdown magnet. So, you know, if you're looking for overall production in a combo league, you could do a lot worse than Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Right now, I have Mike Evans number 8 on my ranking. I have Chris Godwin number 22.
Yeah, you know, we take a look at this. I'm actually putting it up right now for you all on social media. I love to do this, and those of you know, we put up polls pretty much every single week. We try to do throughout the year. So you can go and vote in this poll right now. It's going to be up for an entire week, so Mike and I will be able to talk about it on the next show. I would love for you to share your thoughts with us in this poll question, which is, which one of these Tampa Bay Buccaneer wide receivers would you draft before the other for this 2022-2023 fantasy football season? Would you draft Godwin before Evans or Evans before Godwin? I want to hear what you say. Here's the numbers. Mike Evans, so you can vote in that on Twitter right now, at CallDT. Follow me on Twitter, at CallDT, and vote today. So Chris Godwin and Mike Evans by the numbers. Godwin first. Chris Godwin, 98 catches last season, 1,103 yards, 5 touchdowns. Mike Evans, 74 catches, 24 less, 1,035 yards, 14 touchdowns. So Evans is the touchdown guy. Godwin is the reception guy, but both of them are almost equal as 1,000-yard receivers. They're both worth having on your team, but you said it well, Mike. Mike Evans was the guy. And Chris Godwin was coming up, right? and people thought, wow, he wasn't a household name. Mike Evans coming out of college, so people were thinking, hey, but Chris Godwin, it wasn't like that. And then he got right there, and could he, and then he didn't pass him.
So yeah, but Mike Evans missed almost two full games last year. One game against New Orleans, he only played 17 snaps. He had one reception for 14 yards, and he missed the Carolina game, weeks 15 and 16. So you factor that back in, I'd rather take Mike Evans all day long.
Yeah, and that's the thing that comes down to is that Godwin has – he had that potential, right? And he was doing that. He was right here. And we thought maybe last year, right? We had him back-to-back. But then it didn't happen. And so you got to continue to watch this, and we will see where we go from here. Both of them
14 touchdowns. 14 touchdowns for Mike Evans last year. 14.
14 to 5.
Okay. Got him. 1,000 yards and teens in the touchdowns. You're number one wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think Mike Evans, where some people maybe got a little bit nervous, a little bit concerned about, you know, is Godwin going to take his place? Mike has proven over the years that that's not going to happen. He's played longer, and he's still relevant. Get this about Mike Evans. He's never – I'm going to give you a double negative. He's never not been a 1,000-yard receiver.
There you go. He's
been a 1,000-yard receiver every season from rookie 2014 to now. 1,051, 1,206, 1,321, 1,001, 1,524, 1,157, 1,006, and 1,035. He has never had a season in the NFL where he hasn't been a 1,000-yard receiver. In the case of Chris Godwin, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver twice. He's been a 500-yard receiver as a rookie and around 840 for two seasons, including just two seasons ago in 2020. So with that being said, Godwin has talent. Mike Evans has consistency. Mike Evans is a number one guy. Chris Godwin is not a number one receiver. However, he is a nice number two if he is out there on the field. We head to the NFC East. And an interesting turn of events, Amari Cooper, who signed a five-year deal with the Cowboys, spent a couple years with them, and now is in Cleveland. CeeDee Lamb is still there. Michael Gallup, who hasn't caught on and hasn't stayed healthy, we're still waiting to see what he will be and what he can do. So, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, James Washington there from Pittsburgh where he never caught on, and the beat goes on, including a guy named Ty Freifogel, who's on the team. Awesome name. So I think that's like the person at McDonald's who is the Fry King, who knows how to flip them right. He should be called the Freifogel of the month. But here we go with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like CeeDee Lamb a lot. If you have a chance to get CeeDee Lamb, by all means, he's a wide receiver one. He's number six on my rankings here. Then there's that tremendous drop-off. You know, they just brought Dalton Schultz back. Well, he's back at camp. I don't think he's finalized his contract yet. That's a bit of tension right there in Dallas. They need him. They don't have anybody else, really. But CeeDee Lamb's the guy. They're going to try James Washington in the slot, which I'm not sure about that. I think they should just go ahead and put Jalen. I think they should put Michael Gallup in the slot and put Jalen Tolbert on the outside there as soon as he's up to speed and capable. Jalen Tolbert, this is a guy who's going to be a stud in the NFL if they play this right. Out of South Alabama, he runs a 4.49, which is pretty fast. He's got deceiving speed, though. Like, he doesn't look that fast, but all of a sudden he's by you. You know, he brought in a Ty Freifogel. I like that name, Freifogel, like you said. Simi Fehoko. Yeah, I don't think I'm drafting any of these guys. I'm after CeeDee Lamb, and then we'll see what the heck happens after that.
Yeah, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is worth it. And again, here's the question mark. Can he do it without Amari Cooper? Can he be the guy that they're paying attention to? Because let's face it, Michael Gallup, people are not – he's going to be single covered, but Michael Gallup's not the guy that they're paying attention to. So, you know, Michael Gallup has not – he needs to stay healthy. He's a number three guy who's a number two guy right now because he has to be. He's number two on the depth chart, not because that's where he should be. He's number two on the depth chart because that's what it is on this specific team. CeeDee Lamb is worth the pickup for you. CeeDee Lamb has the upside still. But CeeDee Lamb, I wonder, is he going to be like Juju Smith-Schuster and without the other guy fall off? Or is he going to be able to hold his own? That's a question that only he can answer. But I think CeeDee Lamb is definitely worth putting out there for you with the Dallas Cowboys. But speaking of enigma, the Cowboys are next to that definition. pretty much every single season in Webster's Dictionary. Next team that we have up here coming from the Dallas Cowboys, we move on to the New York Football Giants and their receiving core. Kenny Galladay, who allegedly, I mean, he's there right now, right? He's the number one guy. Sterling Shepard's been there for 100 years. Kadarius Toney, your Florida guy, was there. And as a rookie, come off a season, and allegedly now they want to maybe trade Kadarius Toney before they've even realized how to use Kadarius Toney. Darius Slayton was a high draft pick. He's still there. Wandell Robinson, another young guy on the team. C.J. Board, I covered him. He came from the Jacksonville Jaguars and had made some hay for a little while. Colin Johnson also came from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they got a couple Jaguars guys that were lower on the depth chart. And they have Austin Prohl from the North Carolina Tar Heels, the son of Ricky Prohl, who played many years in the NFL, including with the Rams. So your thoughts on Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, and did they already piss off a guy in a rookie contract this early into his contract where, like, if I'm Kadarius Toney, do I even want to play there? So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you look at Kenny Galladay and you look at Sterling Shepard and you're like, yeah, if this league was 4 years ago, I'd be doing great. You know, Kadarius Toney, again, we've talked about it before. Your best ability is availability. This is a guy who was hurt a lot at Florida. He was a gadget play guy at Florida, but he was lightning. They were figuring out ways to get him the ball in space. That was the problem. He was in space, and he would never get out of bounds, like avoid contact. He would deliver contact sometimes. So this is a guy who's a good football player, but he's not really a crisp route runner. I think Gettleman panicked a little bit when Devonta Smith got picked in that draft, and he was like, oh, my gosh, I need a wide receiver, and he picked Kadarius Toney. I think he should have dropped a little bit past the first round because of that. But he has the tools. He has the measurables, and every coach is great, and I can coach this guy. And, you know, Bill Belichick has that, but he delivers on it. Oh, I can turn that guy around. He was a head case elsewhere. He won't be a problem here, and he'll play, and they usually deliver in New England. This ain't New England. Okay, these are guys that are decent receivers. They got to find a way, though, to get these guys a little motivated and get them on the field. A Richie James can contribute, a Darius Slayton. The guy I'm most excited to see, though, is a Wandell Robinson. You know, I thought this was key that they were going to go ahead and take a trade offer for Kadarius Toney to get whatever they could get for him to get rid of him, because I don't think they like what they got. Look, a Florida Gator, I love the guy. I like the guy. I like cheering for him back in the day. I don't think he's a, you know, number one receiver in the NFL, and that's what you want when you draft a receiver in the first round. You want him to eventually be your number one. I think Wandell Robinson has the chance to be that guy out of Kentucky. This guy was a gadget player, but he's fast. He's confident. He can cover a lot of ground. Short field guy, this is the guy you want. But boom, touchdown. So, you know, I like Wandell Robinson. I want to see him get on the field. I'm probably not drafting any of these guys unless they fall into my lap. Maybe a Kenny Galladay or a Sterling Shepard as my fifth or sixth wide receiver.
Yeah, Galladay last year, taking a look at everything here. Kenny Galladay, no touchdowns. Kadarius Toney, no touchdowns. Sterling Shepard, one touchdown. Darius Slayton, two touchdowns. The highest receiver yardage-wise, Kenny Galladay, 521 yards. Would have gotten lost in Tampa. Toney, 420. Shepard, 366. Slayton, 339. I'm staying away from everyone on the Giants roster until they show me something. You know, Mike, what I'm realizing is this NFC-centric wide receiver fantasy football primer for the 2022-23 season, when we're talking about the NFC, there's a lot of teams here that have, like, there's a lot of franchises that we wouldn't touch any of their receivers, which makes me sit here and think, when we talk about the AFC, is it going to be night and day when we get into the depth of that? Because we've talked about multiple teams where it's like, yeah, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. No, I'm not going there. No, I'm not going to go there either. And so it's just interesting how it all shakes out here, because we've brought up multiple franchises, the Atlantas, right? We brought up, you know, Green Bay is kind of in question, Chicago definitely, Detroit definitely, you know, and now just talking about the Giants, there are so many teams here that we're not saying, yeah, this is definitely the guy, and don't, we're not saying go to this guy and nobody else. We're saying don't go anywhere. let's just wait and see what happens. It's like when you want to go to the movies, but there's no good movie playing. Do you go to the movies for the sake of going to the movies, or do you wait a couple weeks until Thor Love and Thunder comes out? Wide receivers for the Eagles. The guy that didn't want that the Titans didn't want to pay, A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith coming off a good season. And then they have Jalen Reagor still, who they went high on a couple of years ago. Greg Ward Jr., who was a quarterback at Houston. They got transitioned over. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we talked about Devontae Smith before with the situation with the Giants feeling like they were handless, forced to take Kadarius Toney at that point. Philly did themselves a tremendous deal by getting A.J. Brown. I think he is capable of being a top 10 receiver. I do have him downgraded a little bit because of Jalen Hurts at the quarterback. So he has the upside to be a top 10 receiver. I think he's the best receiver on the team. I think he's better than Devonta Smith. Quez Watkins, maybe he's going to see the field a little bit. Jalen Reagor, that guy's a bust. You know, they wasted a high first-round pick on him. Zach Pascal could be a contributor, as is Deion Kane, a John Hightower. I like the measurables there. It's just, you know, the other guys in front of him are a little bit better. So where I'm at is just A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's the guy I'm going to look to. A.J. Brown's number 15 on my ranking here. Again, he has top 10 upside, but because of Jalen Hurts, I got to see something more here. I got to see some connectivity. Maybe that'll happen in the middle of the year. Maybe you won't get A.J. Brown, and maybe week six, he'll start to make that connection with Jalen Hurts. Maybe you could trade for him real cheap. Maybe somebody took him and was like, oh, man, this is a bust, and they want to get out, and then, boom, he takes off after that point. So I'm going to take Devonta Smith as a bottom-end wide receiver 3, maybe a wide receiver 4, hopefully, if that's where he lands to me. A.J. Brown, again, top 10 upside. So he has the upside to be your wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, mid-round wide receiver 2 for me. And, you know, Dallas Goedert's the touchdown guy. He's the tight end there. And we need to see something from Jalen Hurts. And is Miles Sanders going to stay healthy? That all contributes to it. It's a team for a reason.
Yeah.
I like A.J. Brown.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, by the numbers, first two seasons in the NFL, 1,000-yard receiver. Last season, 869. Had 5 touchdowns, only had 1 of his 3 seasons get double digits in touchdowns. And he has had 52 receptions, 70 and 63 in year 1, 2, and 3 respectively. So A.J. Brown, he does bring it, and he does give you something. His numbers aren't great. He's not a true number one guy, but do I think that he can fill out the role of number one in Philadelphia better than what they've had in recent history? I do. And do I think that somebody might draft him and do exactly what you said, get sick of waiting? Yeah. And I think if you hold your patience there and you hold on to A.J. Brown, I think it's going to pay off down the road. Devontae Smith, this could make him better. As a rookie, 916 yards, 64 catches, was targeted 104 times at 5 touchdowns. So Devontae Smith, look for him to be a factor this season, and maybe even more so with having A.J. Brown there. And I agree with you on Jalen Reagor, 299 yards last season in 17 games played. So nothing to write home about. And had 2 touchdowns last season receiving. We head to the Washington Commanders. Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, who they drafted. I told you the Eagles would go high on Jahan Dotson. And what happened was Washington traded up in the draft. And right around the time that I thought Philly would take him, it was the next pick that Washington did. So for those of you that thought that Jahan Dotson out of Penn State wouldn't go high, well, he went right around the exact spot where I had him going. So he's there now, Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin's proven that he can play with any quarterback, and he might have to because they change them all the time. Carson Wentz, Taylor Heineke, and Sam Howell, I think all 3 of them will be under center at some point this season. What are your thoughts on what that does to the receiving corps?
Yeah, I think Terry McLaurin is a guy who could be a top 10 receiver fantasy-wise, could be a wide receiver 1, but not this time, not so fast, my friend, as somebody would say. Terry McLaurin is speed. He's a great receiver. Curtis Samuel was a great receiver. He was injured. Put him in the slot. We'll see what he's got. There's talk that he could be a dark horse guy that could really take off this year. Jahan Dotson, you know, he's got some wheels. This is a 4-4 guy out of Penn State. I like him as a receiver. I'm not sure I like the quarterback, Carson Wentz. up and down, inconsistent. Like you had mentioned, Taylor Heinicke, Sam Howell, all three of those guys could be the quarterback here. You got a Logan Thomas or a healthy John Bates that could be the touchdown vultures there. So I'm just really not sure of what I'm getting here. I got Terry McLaurin downgraded because of the quarterback situation. He's my number 19 receiver, so a bottom-end wide receiver too. Jahan Dotson and Curtis Samuel, those guys are in the high 50s and 60s on my ranking just because of the whole situation, like I said, with Carson Wentz. So Curtis Samuel being out, Jahan Dotson being a rookie, I can't count on those guys. Now, I'm going to keep an eye on those guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm also going to keep my eye on the Curtis Samuel situation. Are they going to mix in the Diami Brown? Is Antonio Gandy-Golden finally going to show up? I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions. I'll keep an eye on the situation, but Terry McLaurin's the only guy that's draftable, in my opinion. But, again, he's a bottom-end wide receiver, too, for me.
Yeah, you know, and I we're having the conversation about Mike Evans here. It continues on Facebook and it continues on Twitter. Twitter at Call DT, just to let you all know, it's 100% that people would take Evans before Godwin right now in early voting. 100% of you said, I would draft Evans before Godwin and not the other way around. So we'll see where it goes from here. Terry McLaurin, I mean, we shall see with Terry McLaurin, right? And what is going to happen at this point for him. So this is going to be, I mean, they're talking about Terry McLaurin being a trade target right now and that he could go to the Bears and what that, you know, if that could happen as he's in his rookie contract currently, I think that would be a mistake. I think Terry McLaurin's been one of the only consistent things about the inconsistent Washington Commanders who didn't even consistently have a name for the last 2 years. So I think the best thing for them is keeping Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin has he's not a number one guy for me, but he's a number two. And I think Jahan Dotson has some upside to draft late. So I think if Terry McLaurin is with the Washington Commanders, he's head and shoulders the number one guy. And I think Jahan Dotson has a chance of doing something, and Curtis Samuel could, but Curtis Samuel is not the guy that I would trust to take on my team, draft, and keep there. He's not somebody that I would entrust with a draft spot. He's somebody I would look at after the draft. But, I mean, Terry McLaurin, if Terry McLaurin is there, then Terry McLaurin is the guy that you draft out of Washington. Final note here, the NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins, if he's healthy, Marquise Hollywood-Brown, A.J. Green decided to come back for an unprecedented 117th season in the NFL, and Rondale Moore is coming in as a sophomore. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, nobody's – I mean, did you mention DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, he's on the team, right? Or is he? Or what's
I
meant,
yeah,
on?
I mentioned – I said DeAndre Hopkins if he stays healthy is the first thing I said, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because, you know, you don't see him on any of the depth charts anywhere. If you float around and follow stuff, I don't see him on any of the depth charts. But I'm still going to grade him out. I mean, he's still, you know, a receiver in the NFL as far as I'm concerned. He's still on the Cardinals. But
yeah, he's suspended until week 7, so that's probably why.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's some value there. He's a guy that you normally take as a top receiver, but you got to understand, where do I take him? So if he's suspended to week 7, is he even worth a pick at that point? You know, somebody's going to take him. Somebody's not going to know about the suspension, draft him way high. Then somebody in another draft you're in is going to snake him somewhere in the mid to late rounds, and they're going to look good because they already have depth at receiver. A.J. Green does nothing for me. Marquise Brown. See, I think they knew about that situation with the Hopkins suspension coming up. That's why they were aggressive in making that move with Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown's number 20 on my ranking here. Now, I've always been a Rondale Moore fan as well, but I got DeAndre Hopkins and Moore ranked in the 40s. Hopkins, obviously, because missing half the season, and then Moore. There's only so many balls that you could spread around. Kyler Murray's going to run around like a chicken with his head cut off. You got James Conner and Darrell Williams still in the fold there. So I like Marquise Brown a lot. The rest are also Rams, and I'm probably going to stay away.
Yeah, you know, and you said it, I thought it when you were saying it, is that I truly believe that the same people that are going to look around the room when they giggle and take and draft Michael Thomas are the same people that are going to giggle and draft DeAndre Hopkins and be like, I'll wait until week 8. I don't even care. And it's like, yeah, sometimes it works out for you, but are you willing to give up 7 weeks of your season? You have to know where to draft him. you don't just draft. I mean, and like you said, somebody may not know about the suspension, but ultimately what it comes down to is you have to make the moves that are going to set you up week by week. If you're playing the long game and you want to grab them and stash them, yeah, it could pay off for you. But where are you going to be 7 weeks into the season is the question that I ask you. Where are you going to be? And that is a question that, you know, do you plan on just winning the back half of it, going 0-7, and then just hoping to God you win every game from there? I mean, you have to know when to do it. It's not a bad play to do at a certain point in the draft. But what point is that? Is that round 8? Is it round 9? Is it round 10? How deep is your draft? Is it 18 rounds like ours? Is it 12 rounds? Is it 14 rounds? And you're definitely not in the first three. But somebody might say, hey, you know what? I'm going to grab DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm going to laugh at you all later. There's always somebody that does that. And I always look at them and say, yeah, maybe it does pay off for you. But I'm going to play fantasy football for weeks 1 through 7. And you can start playing in week 8. And I'll see you there. I also want to make a note about Marquise Hollywood Brown's numbers. Lamar Jackson only played 12 games last season. Didn't play the back part of the season. Big reason why Baltimore just kind of busted. He just wasn't healthy enough to come back. Because Marquise Hollywood Brown had 1,000 yards receiving and 91 catches. But that can't all be attributed to Lamar Jackson. So he already knows how to play without Lamar. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver in his third season in the NFL, and he had 91 catches. 46, 58, and then 91. So we'll see where he goes from here. Marquise Hollywood Brown is worth a pickup on this team because he's going to be the number one guy now. Rondale Moore is a late-round sleeper draft pick when you get in the double-digit rounds later on in the draft. When you're filling out your receivers and you need a fifth or a sixth guy, Rondale Moore is a guy late. Marquise Hollywood Brown is a guy that I wouldn't balk at you drafting within the first 5 rounds. Not the first 2, but in some part of those first 5 rounds, in the 3rd round, 4th round even, because he's there with Kyler Murray, and as long as Kyler Murray's there, Kyler Murray has a good output. Marquise Hollywood Brown's going to make some hay, and DeAndre Hopkins is out for 7 weeks. So Marquise Hollywood Brown is the good play. Rondale Moore is a good stash play, and DeAndre Hopkins is the good long-term play. But don't you dare draft DeAndre Hopkins and smirk at everybody and then just move on with your life. And if you draft Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins, you might as well just set yourself up for the toilet bowl that we give to the last team in every single year. You might as well just bookmark it because there's no point unless you're just hoping to play next year. And if you're the XFL and you're saying, hey, we're going to be great in 2023, then do what you got to do with Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins early. But I think Hopkins is a better pickup than Thomas, in my opinion, but you have to be smart on the when that you do that. And there is value in Marquise Hollywood Brown, and there's back-end value in Rondale Moore. And the next one that we have here in the NFC West is we will move ourselves. And I always seem to do the alphabetical order. Snafu, I'm not going to do it today. The Los Angeles Rams are next up here on this. And as we take a look at the Los Angeles Rams, we go from a team with question marks at receiver to a team that doesn't give you many questions at receiver. Cooper Kupp, arguably the best receiver in the country. And then you have Allen Robinson, who just bounced in. Van Jefferson. Because we have seen the disbursement of the Robert Woods and company, now all of a sudden, Cooper Kupp even more has the reins of this. Allen Robinson was a high draft pick by the Jaguars. He was a former number one guy in Chicago and in Jacksonville. Let's see where he goes from here. Van Jefferson's the young gun. Tutu Atwell is there as well, and people forget about Tutu Atwell and what Tutu Atwell can bring to the table, and I'm going to say it as much as I can because I like saying the name Tutu Atwell, but he came to you from Louisville, and so let's see what he brings here to this offense that has proven that a lot of guys can eat. What are your thoughts? Is there anybody relevant beyond Cooper Kupp?
Well, yeah, you know, I think especially if I draft Cooper Kupp, I'm going to go back in late in the draft for probably one of my last picks just before my defense and kicker. I'm going to probably take up a Van Jefferson. Look, you got Matt Stafford and an explosive offense. This is a guy who likes to throw the ball. If Cooper Kupp or Allen Robinson get hurt, who's the number two now? Well, it's Van Jefferson. He's the number three, but he's playing on the outside because Kupp is so efficient from the slot. And that's okay. Van Jefferson. Where have we heard this name Jefferson before? Ah, his younger brother, Justin. You may have heard of him. We just talked about him. Who was their dad? John Jefferson. This guy has the pedigree. This guy was born to do this. So I remember he was playing at Ole Miss, and then he transferred to Florida after Ole Miss had some problems. And you could tell he was a pro receiver at that level there. Allen Robinson, I think he's got tremendous upside in this offense. I think he has the opportunity to finish in the top 10. That's with Cooper Kupp being the number one receiver. So this team could have two top 10 receivers a la Tampa Bay when they did it with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
So Cooper Kupp's the number one receiver. I got Allen Robinson at 17 right now. But I'm telling you, he's got a very high ceiling. This is a guy that I like a lot. I think Allen Robinson's going to show that he still got it and that he wasn't used effectively in the past couple of years. Again, I like Van Jefferson, but he's number 56 on my rankings. I'm not going to get a lot of production. Everyone else is an also-ran. I'm not even looking at those guys. However, if I'm in a league that pays for returns, I'm going to take a quick look at Brandon Powell late in the draft. He's a great guy out of Florida as well. I don't want to look like a homer here, but he's a return guy. It's a guy who's undrafted, guy walked on, and he's the guy who proves he belongs on the roster. But I like Cooper Kupp, hands down, best receiver, best fantasy receiver for you.
He was targeted almost 200 times in the regular season. 191 targets, 145 catches. Some people don't have 145 catches in their NFL career. 16 touchdowns, 1,947 yards. And Van Jefferson's numbers as a number two guy, not bad, Mike. 802 yards last season, 89 targets, 50 catches, and 6 receiving touchdowns. Van Jefferson, late pick. Cooper Kupp could be your number one overall pick. Could very well, a wide receiver, go above a running back and be your number one overall pick this season. I love me some Cooper Kupp. And you and I were talking about Cooper Kupp, and I started to get high on Cooper Kupp like 2 years ago. So I'm very happy to say that I didn't wait until the Super Bowl to go, hey, who's that Kupp guy? So you pay attention to this show. You get to learn a lot of stuff. I learn stuff from Mike every day. I learn from you, and hopefully you learn something from me, and we're all helping each other here. In San Francisco, the wide receiver that thinks he should be paid as one of the highest in the country, if not the highest, allegedly, Deebo Samuel is still there. Brandon Ayuk is still there. And then we have Juwan Jennings, Danny Gray, Ray McLeod, who's bounced around coming out of Clemson where I covered him, and so on and so forth. Taser Mack is also on this San Francisco 49ers team. Taser Mack, interesting here in his connection, because I believe that him and I have crossed paths in his time. And so Taser Mack, taking a look back at this, I want to make sure that I'm right in what I'm saying here. Yes, he went to Pitt. So that's what I thought. So, yeah, he went to Indiana and then went to Pitt. So Taser Mack and I have crossed paths. And so he's on the roster now in San Francisco. Your thoughts on San Francisco? And is Trey Lance the guy right now and that's it? Is there going to be a mashup again of the situation in San Francisco? Are we going to still see Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance? I know Jimmy's got to come back from injury. But what do you think about it? And Deebo Samuel, does Deebo play his heart out or does Deebo sit it out?
No, I think Debo's going to get paid. I think they're going to try to continue to use him as a running back. The challenge is, he doesn't want to take all those hits. It's going to shorten his career tremendously. This is a guy who's aggressive when he runs the ball. They need to develop some more plays where they get him the ball more so in space. The problem is he's so good right out of the backfield, even on off tackle plays and blast plays and belly plays. This guy seems to find tremendous gaps that nobody else can find. He's a rich man's Cordero Patterson. I mean, this guy's getting it done right, and they're using him right. The play calls are right every time with him when they give him the ball. It's hard to explain. It's just he pops off the page. He pops off the screen when you're watching him play on TV. I like Deebo Samuel. He's number 7 on my wide receiver rank. Again, he's going to get you the yardage, both running and receiving. PPR yep. league is going to be great there. Here's the challenge. Deebo Samuel, number 7 on my ranking. There's a bit of a drop-off after that on the team. Brandon Ayuk at a 42. They brought in a name I want you to write down here. Danny Gray. This guy has lightning speed at SMU. 4.33. 40. He's an elite receiver. He has hands. He has routes. He's crisp. He has all the tools. He can return kicks as well. So Ray McLeod might be in trouble there, their kick returner there. I don't think Juwan Jennings is long for the slot position. I think Danny Gray is a guy that keep your eye on. I don't think you should draft him necessarily. Depends on how things go between now and week one. But I'm thinking that he's a guy that you want to keep an eye on the waivers. Something happens, somebody gets hurt, or he moves into that slot position. Maybe you can get some value, you know, as a sixth receiver on your team or something and surprise some people. Dynasty-wise, I think he's a surprise receiver to have. I think he could be Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk in the receiver role. So I think he's perfectly, you know, I can see having him on a roster by year's end, but the only guy I'm really drafting here is Deebo Samuel as a number one.
Yeah, and Danny Gray, another guy that I cross paths with because I cover SMU, only played 18 games for SMU, had 9 touchdowns last season, 803 yards, 49 receptions in 10 games. So averaging about 5 receptions a game there. I mean, yeah, I think what it comes down is Deebo Samuel. He's the only player in NFL history, only player in all the history of the NFL to have at least 1,400 rush receiving yards and 300 rushing yards in one season. He led the NFL last year in yards per catch with 18.3. And he tied Jonathan Taylor, who we talked about also being another potential number one overall fantasy pick. He tied running back of the Colts, Jonathan Taylor, for most rushing touchdowns last season of 10-plus yards with 6. Deebo Samuel, by the numbers, I don't think he's the best receiver in the NFL. But I do think that San Francisco needs to keep him. 360, on the ground, 365 yards, a yard for every day of the year, 59 attempts, 6.2 yards a carry, 8 touchdowns rushing, 1,405 receiving yards to lead the team, 121 targets, 77 receptions, and 6 touchdowns. Overall, together, he had 14 touchdowns and over 1,700 yards from scrimmage, caught 77 passes and ran the ball 59 times. Deebo Samuel belongs in your top 10 at receiver for fantasy because he is a money-making machine. Let's go to a team that has 2 moneymakers that are really good, that are both high caliber. Top 10, arguably, fantasy wide receivers. Top 15. But the question I ask you, who in the Sam hell is throwing them the ball this year? They have Geno Smith and Drew Lock and Jacob Eason. No disrespect to any of them, but you're not Russell Wilson. There's a lot of value in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, but someone has to throw them the ball. They are one of the most unprepared teams that I can't believe hasn't made a move on a quarterback. Why is Jimmy Garoppolo not here? I don't know. So the question to you, Mike, is they're both really good, but where do we draft them this year, knowing that Geno Smith, Jacob Eason, and Drew Lock are their quarterbacks?
Yeah, this is a problem. And this is a problem I'm going to let somebody else have. You know, I want DK Metcalf on my team. I want Tyler Lockett on my team. I also want a Rolls Royce, a Lamborghini, a Porsche. I want all these things. Just because you want them doesn't mean you can have them. There comes a certain point in time where you want somebody else to go on another team. So you're not forced with that decision. The decision is made for you in a draft. Let me tell you why. I think DK Metcalf has top 10 upside. He could be a top 10 receiver in this league all the time, fantasy-wise. I think Tyler Lockett used to have that. Both of these guys had those things when they had a different quarterback there. That quarterback's gone, okay? Geno Smith and Drew Lock. If you look at the depth chart, Geno Smith is listed as a starter right now. Now, I know Drew Lock's going to be the starter, but is he really much better than Geno Smith, Jared Goff? I mean, I don't know what I'm getting there. He does have the receivers. And watch out for a Freddie Swain. This is a guy out of Florida, again, undrafted guy. I know I'm sounding like a homer, but he made a spot for himself on the team. He can return kicks. They're going to use him in the slot. He's supplanting D. Eskridge, who they had penciled in the slot as a rookie last year and didn't really see the field. Marquise Goodwin has some lineage there. Penny Hart. These guys could all contribute. But I'm not considering any one of these guys really, simply because DK Metcalf, again, could be a top 10. I got him downgraded because of the quarterback situation to 23, okay? Yeah. Tyler Lockett is lower than that, 36. Tyler Lockett, 36. You need somebody to throw you the ball. Let somebody else deal with that. Let somebody else overdraft these guys. If they fall to you that where I have them ranked, that's great. Be confident. But again, I'm probably staying away.
Just put it to you like this. Tyler Lockett had 8 touchdowns. DK Metcalf had 12. That accounts for 20 touchdowns. There were 30 touchdowns thrown last season by quarterbacks that played for Seattle. Of the 30 touchdowns thrown, 25 came from Russell Wilson, 5 came from Geno Smith. So you got guys that have 20 touchdowns, and of those 20, we have 25 of 30 coming from Russell Wilson. So more often than not, all of the majority of that output that you see, that you love, oh, Dan, Tyler Lockett had 1,175 yards. He had 73 catches. Oh, Mike, DK Metcalf had 12 touchdowns and 75 targets and 967 yards with Russell Wilson the majority of the time. 30 touchdowns, 25 come from one of the quarterbacks not named Geno Smith. It's case in the point. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, I agree with you. They're enticing. I want them. And I'm going to have to remind myself as I get the itch in the middle of the draft that they don't have Russell Wilson anymore, and they don't have a single quarterback that I would trust my team in the hands of right now.
They're going to draft a quarterback next year like Detroit. They're just riding it out for the better QB class next year.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, I'm for teams that want to play the year that we're in, not for teams that are hoping for something down the road because tomorrow may never come. So play what's in front of you and do what you need to do. With that being said, we've given you every NFC division wide receiver core, every team of the 16 NFC franchises, and we'll head to the AFC next week. Mike, as always, I appreciate you. Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com for Mike Sofka, WakeUpCallDT.com for myself, and together on Facebook, Winning Fantasy Football, just like we're together every week on Facebook with our Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York, open 7 days a week for indoor and outdoor seating as weather permits, and for takeout and delivery, call 315-487-2222. You can also call that number to book their private room that has a massive screen and so much fun. It's one of the best places, from a team banquet to a concert to what we get to do on stage with all of our sports shows to our fantasy football drafts to your Christmas party. The fantasy football to Christmas to everything at the Wildcat. It all just makes sense and it all comes together. It's the perfect venue for any event that you have going on. Family friendly and always great to us. So thanks to Danny Tome and the team. And thanks to my team here with Mike Sofka, my ace in the hole. Mike, as always, I appreciate you and I'll talk with you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. I look forward to it.
Take care.